Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the first National League Championship Series edition of the True Blue LA podcast, at least for this year. I was about to say, we've done these before. The Dodgers have been here, been doing this a lot. Hopefully they can keep going. Eric, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good in the sort of lull in between the like relatively quick division series round, like, you know, from a league perspective as a whole. Mm-hmm. There were only the winning teams were 12-2 in those series. So, and then now we're waiting for the NLCS and the ALCS to start. So we're in that kind of like middle ground right now where it's like the calm before the storm almost.
Right around the fourth inning in game four in the Dodgers series, you texted me very ready to record another NLDS episode. It was looking a little shaky. Dodgers weren't putting up a lot of runs, but really, like, I think that was just sort of in the moment. Outside of one inning of Walker Buehler, the Dodgers looked really, really good in this series.
Oh yeah, and like even so, Buehler had the inning where he just like forgot how to throw a strike for a second, and then like that was like really bad. But then even after that, like he gave up the grand slam. They're down 5-0, and like, he retired like his next 10 in a row. And he still like completed 5. So it's like, you know, it wasn't a good start by any means, but it was like, it was the circumstances considering he left tied, you know, like what could you do? And that, like, if that's your worst start, you're living right. But yeah, it was, it was a good series overall. They trailed in game four very briefly. But then of course since the Dodgers got David Freese, they did not trail very long. So,
it's a good thing they won in game four. You and I quickly talked about it. Not only is it good for us, we have less stress, less work for you. We didn't have to record a sort of a bonus podcast in there. But for the Dodgers, it means that they get to set the rotation going forward. They get to rest everybody that they want and really kind of go in with a nice little head start of knowing exactly what's coming their way. Which is what you and I are going to talk about. Is there anything you want to talk about the NLDS before we get going? We talked about, obviously, the two big wins on the previous episode. So we can mention Manny Machado, I guess, which a lot of the fan base was really, really down on up until, game four.
Right. So, like, he was having, like, a, you know, kind of a down series. I think he was, like, 1-for-11 or something like that in the first three games. And the one hit was the home run in game three that basically gave him the offense they needed to win. But, yeah, it was, you know, could have been better. And then he had a big three-run homer that put that game away in game four. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's why they traded for this guy. Okay. Like, and then he doubled later. But, yeah, so turns out he's still actually a pretty good hitter. So,
And in general, like, I know the numbers weren't good, but I thought he looked fine in games one and two. Game three, on the other hand, that it was just pressing and striking out a lot and just, like, generally, like, trying to do a little bit too much. So, I was really glad to see him have the rebound in game four.
It was like Jekyll and I, because, like, even in game one, he struck out three times and hit into a double play. So, it's like,
my memory is I remember only good things of those first two games.
But, you know, part of it, I think this was in game four, because it was in game four, is when they were still trailing. He had the double play ball in the sixth, I think, or maybe, I guess it was the fifth, that should have got out of the inning, and he got zero outs out of it. So that was bad. But, like, I guess so. Him, and the only other thing about the NLDS, just David Fries, he had they were down 2-1. He hit a two-run pinch hit single against a righty. He's been doing most of his damage against lefty since coming over. But, man, he's just been fantastic. Like, he had an 1130 OPS plus in his 47 plate appearances in September. You know, like, two-thirds of those roughly were against righty or against lefties. Understandably, he's doing damage, but did pretty good against righties, too. He's, limited. They faced Sean Newcomb, the one lefty starter, but that was really a bullpen game, so he didn't really start. So he had three pinch hit appearances in the series, and he had 1-for-2 with the sac fly. So he drove in three runs. So he made his sort of presence felt. But, man, I was looking up some. I don't remember what I was looking. How I was looking. Oh, like overall postseason leaderboards. We'll get to this in a little bit later. But just like his 2011 is just ridiculous. Like he had in a single postseason, he had 25 hits. And 50 total bases in the postseason. So, like, he won the MVP of the NLCS and the World Series that year. It was just insane. He drove in 21 runs in 18 games in that season, so the postseason. So, man, what a ridiculous sort of run for him.
And if we want to keep speaking about midseason additions, Ryan Madsen brought in a pretty high leverage spot.
Right, like we were talking about, I know, but we both had him sort of on the outside looking in, or like one of those bubble guys to make the roster. But it's like pretty clearly, like they're using him in high leverage situations. He pitched the last two outs of the fifth inning in to keep it a 2-1 game in game four. So like that was pretty huge. We'll talk about this in a second about the roster, but it seems like his spot is pretty secure just given how they've sort of used him.
Well, let's move on to the next series. Dodger will be playing the Brewers. I baseball's weird. Weird things happen in the playoffs, but you definitely are expecting a more competition from the Brewers. I was about to say competitive series, but there's almost any narrative you want to fit any outcome in this series. Brewers get swept. Dodgers get swept. Close series. There's both these teams are really, really good. The Brewers more so closed the year very, very closely, but the Dodgers have looked really, really good since the series in San Francisco. So,
yeah, like the Brewers talk about being hot. Yeah. The Brewers enter Friday winning 11 straight. The Dodgers have won a mere 7 out of 8, so they're like not quite there. But so yeah, in September, like the Brewers were 20-7, best in the National League. Dodgers were right behind them, 19-9. So they've been like the two best teams the last month. So I it's hard to say the Dodgers aren't the favorite here. The home field advantage, and so they're looking sharp. And like, look, they only gave up two runs to the Rockies in three games, and the Rockies only scored once in one out of the 28 innings. So like, their pitching was really good. Their pitching is weird I think Julius Chacin's going game one. They haven't really announced it yet, but they basically are. They're probably going to be the most aggressive team in like using their bullpen. they had a bullpen game in game one of their series against the Rockies. Like, Brandon Woodruff started and went three innings. You know, that's odd. Like, you know, I know they had the weird week because they had the Monday game, but man, like, it's, you know, they're super aggressive in their pen. Their top five guys are really good. Hader, can't picked up. Corey Knebel, he was sent to the minors at one point of the year, but still really good. All four of those guys have, like, high strikeout rates, like 29% and above. Hader's, like, in the 40s. He led baseball. So, like, those four guys, really good. And then Corbin Burnes is, like, their second or their next guy. So, like, those top five guys the Dodgers had trouble with this year. I think they scored, I think it was, like, three runs in, like, just over 14 innings. So, against those five. So, it's going to be a slog, I think. But also, like, how it works if you're winning every game, but like using, because they use those top four guys all three games against the Rockies, like, can they continue to do that for a longer series? And, you know, will they be fatigued? And, like, can the Dodgers take advantage? I think they're going to need some innings from their starters, and so that's where, like, you know, they'll, like, Julius Chacin and Wade Miley started in that series. We'll see what the Brewers do this series, but I think that's where the Dodgers can sort of make the Brewers bullpen pitch more than they want to, you know, or longer, and then sort of win it that way. So maybe it's just sort of gradual. That's kind of what they did against Atlanta, like gradually wearing them down. Like, if they had a weird series against the Braves, like, you know, they hit, let's see, I had it in front of me. Oh yeah. So they hit, like, in the low 200s, they hit 210 as a team, but 27 walks in the series and eight home runs. So it's like, you know, it kind of worked, you know, 358 on base, 445 slugging. Look, it's only four games, but they stole eight bases too. So, like, they were opportunistic, I think, but it was like this sort of patiently sort of working your way into those spots. And I think that's probably what they're going to have to do to beat the Brewers.
Are we expecting the same 25 players for this series as the last, or any changes?
It seems like Dave Roberts, like, they had a workout yesterday. That was the one, you know, so, like, that's when game five would have been at the stadium. So they got to go home, sleep in their own beds for a few days. They're leaving, I think, today for Milwaukee. So I didn't go to the workout because it was one of those, like, it was my off day, and then, like, nothing really ever comes of that. Plus, there was no real clubhouse access. It was, like, catching players as they come off the field, and that's, like, hit or miss. So, but Roberts was, like, you know, he was saying, look, we're not completely decided, but it sounds like Ross Stripling might make his way back on. And it seems like, just given how the players were used, they used all eight relievers in the first round, but Dylan Floro pitched the least. I think he only got one out. So if you're looking at, like, a bullpen swap, you could see maybe Stripling or Floro. And Roberts said last series that was the last spot in the pen, that they made that decision last series. So I think Bill Plunkett talked to Stripling, and he said he was tipping his pitches, and they figured they sort of maybe corrected that. So we've heard this before, you, Darvish. They knew about it last year, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so maybe Stripling. They had in Atlanta, they had a simulated game one of the days, I think it was Sunday, where Stripling, Julio Urias, and Josh Fields threw, and then, like, Austin Barnes, who was on the roster, and then Kyle Farmer and Chase Utley hit. So, like, those guys all sort of in play as possibility. Hard to see them. Like, I guess someone, Andrew Tolles, like, most of the other guys went to Arizona. These other guys I mentioned all suited up and traveled with the team, even though they weren't on the roster. You're allowed to have, like, a certain number of guys do that. But Andrew Tolles, I think, was in Arizona during the series, was at the workout yesterday. So anything's sort of possible, but I find it hard to see if they like add another position player that it wouldn't be like Utley, just because I don't know. I mean, maybe not. So maybe I'm just guessing. I think it's going to be the same, and then maybe just that one pitching move, but those are all sort of possibilities. So, I don't think we're going to see too dramatic a change on the roster.
So we roughly know the 25 guys that will be going, but in terms of usage, there's not much we can do about this, but I know you wanted to talk a little bit about how Grandal has been kind of been struggling in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yeah, the last few. You know, like, last year he was struggling at the end of the year, so, like, Austin Barnes caught, like, 13 of the 15, or he started 13 of the 15 games behind the plate. the year before that, Grandal sort of was battling injuries down the stretch, and he wasn't good. But this hat tip to John Wiseman, who were sort of talking about this yesterday, and I looked a little more on it. But Grandal, in his playoff career, is 5 for 59. Like,
that's not
he
very
has
good.
No, he has 14 walks in that time. So he had like that. It's basically been like walk or almost nothing. And but among that 5 for 59, he's 2 for his last 45. Like, that's really hard to do. And like, so, both of those hits, mind you, are home runs, including one this year. So like, you know, look, it's, you get what you get with Grandal, but 5 for 59 is hard to do. So I looked it up, all time, among players with 50 plate appearances or more in the postseason. I forget the exact number of this. There are almost 1,000 of these players, like all time. Bill North was 3 for 59, 051. He was an outfielder, more of a speed guy than anything. Marv Owen was an infielder. He hit 061. He was 3 for 49. And then two pitchers, Greg Maddux, 073. He was 4 for 55. Whitey Ford, 082. He was 4 for 49. Those are the lowest four. In fifth place, yes, Yasmani Grandal, 085, 5 for 59. So, and then Dan Wilson is the only other guy under 100. He was 8 for 88, 091. So, my goodness. So, yeah, like, you know, them getting something out of Grandal would be, like, great. Because, look, they obviously they prioritize, like, dealing with the pitching staff and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, you know, part of his value, a lot of his value is actual offense from the catching position. And he really hasn't done much at all in that, in the postseason. So anything they get out of that would be great. So that would be very.
Could you see this affecting, if nothing else, where he hits in the batting order?
Yeah, maybe like I actually forgot where he hit in the LCS, but like, you know, I know they put like against righties, they still tend to have like Puig a little lower. Maybe you see Grandal like seventh or eighth in these games instead of fifth or sixth, but he was swinging pretty well in September. Like,
sure, look, and I was about to say, knowing this Dodgers team, this means Yasmani Grandal is your NLCS MVP. So.
Right. Like, yeah, like Jock Peterson was 2 for 41. They sent him to the minors last year, and then he ended up hitting like a billion home runs in the World Series. So, like, you never know. I mean, Grandal hit fifth in game four, so I don't think they're, you know, we'll see. I mean, they maneuver stuff around, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. But I think they're just going to ride him going forward.
Looking at the pitching staff, the Dodgers went with Ryu first. Speculation there was to get both of them 5 days rest and to also ensure that Ryu was going to be pitching at Dodger Stadium. Going with Kershaw in game one, are they really going to try and keep Ryu at home at all times? Are they just going to go with what they think is their best order? How do you see games two and on going on in terms of the rotation?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we only right now know that Kershaw's going game one. He would have, Robert said before game four, that Kershaw would have went game five if there was a game five. So that it sort of makes all that sort of discussion last week kind of funny, like, or almost moot. You know, it was symbolic that Kershaw didn't go game one, but it wasn't like this huge, like, paradigm shift or something, you know, with the team. Like, I know KLAC had, like, they tweeted out this interview, like, or maybe it was Fox Sports Radio. I guess that's all in the same, but it was like Dodgers are trying to push Kershaw out. It's like, come on, guy, like, calm down. But yeah, it just shows that move was more motivated by keeping those guys, giving him an extra day of rest. They're giving Kershaw the extra day of rest. We've also got the extra day of rest, but keeping them in line. So now, like, he'll have 6 days of rest before his game one starts, so that's fine. And then I do think they'll go with Buehler, and just to keep Ryu at home. Not that he can't pitch on the road, but I think they're going to bet on the stuff. And, like, he did show a lot after the Grand Slam by retiring the last 10. So if I had to guess, I think it would be Kershaw, Buehler, Ryu. And then Rich Hill game four. But I think that's where we're at. But, you know, like, they could just stick with Ryu in game two and Buehler game three, because Buehler's been really good kind of wherever. But, yeah, I think they'll go with Kershaw, Buehler, Ryu in that order. But we'll find out probably maybe today they have a they do like pregame press conferences, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll know for sure by Friday because they usually have to have the next day's starting pitcher like interviewed before that. So we'll find out by Friday for sure.
And what times are we getting going? I saw some chatter on Twitter yesterday about anger over a Wednesday game. So what times do we have for the NLCS?
Yeah, so the first game is like in a rough sense there. Like every night there's a league championship series game, like in prime time, either the NL or on the East Coast. So, but in this series, there's like four potential days where there's two games and they basically split them. For the Dodgers case, and I'm just going to give the Pacific times on these, game one is 5, game two is 1 o'clock on Saturday. Then when they're at Dodger Stadium, the games are 4:30, 6, and 2. Wednesday's game 5. That's the 2 o'clock p.m. game, Pacific. That's the game that people were sort of complaining about, even though the previous day, the AL has the day game. And they're look, I know it's like they're on the West Coast and the other series is in Houston, but this isn't anything. And it's also like, you know, it's not like fairness related necessarily, because we saw this a couple years ago when it was Dodgers Cubs in the NLCS, and the other one was Cleveland and Toronto, and the Dodgers Cubs series got all the primetime games. Like, so it's not like they're totally want to be fair. They want to maximize ratings. But that said, it's competing networks. So there is a little bit of a jostling, I'm sure. But yeah, it worked out that the Dodgers, the NL series got a day, they each got a day game during the week, and they each got a day game during the weekend. So the last two games of the series for the NL is next Friday, Saturday. It's 5:30 and 6. So, you know, it's odd, but that's sort of it's par for the course.
Is there the chance of, if the ALCS is a sweep, that they change that time?
No, because the ALCS is behind the NLCS this year. That they start Saturday. So the one conflict, it would maybe matter. Before. Yeah, it would be exactly. So there's no – the only conflict that there is like when the Dodgers – it's the Saturday when the Dodgers have game 7. The ALCS game 6 is supposed to be earlier in the day. But if the NL series is decided by then the AL moves into like prime time. So other than that, there's really no like if this happens or whatever. But yeah, so they're kind of set in stone at this point.
Well, I feel as ready as I'll ever feel for a playoff series, which is not at all, and I'm going to be breathing into a paper bag. But I'm good to go info-wise. Is there anything you wanted to add before we sign off?
Yeah. So the Dodgers are home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. But the one thing I want to note, Jock Peterson, he had this streak of one hit and one run, and like it got up to 8 straight games, and the record was 9 for postseason. So he didn't score in one of those games. So, but he does have a 10-game hitting streak, and it is the third longest hitting streak in the postseason in Dodger history. Do you have a guess who the top one or two are?
Top one or two. Is this LA Dodger or all Dodger?
All Dodgers.
Duke Snider.
No.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you, both are LA Dodgers.
Oh, well, cheater.
Yeah. I'm still giving a hint, whatever.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Has to be someone actually got to play 10 games. Are any of them part of the infield?
No.
Okay. Man, I'm running out of options. Okay. Just to stick with my era, even though I know it's a little tough because they didn't play very many playoff games, but I'm going to go in my era and say Eric Karros.
Nope. I'll give you one more hint. Okay. Not only were both of these players teammates who are ahead of Peterson, they were also teammates with Jock Peterson.
Okay. Justin Turner?
Nope.
What? All right. Final guess. Yasiel Puig.
Nope.
Okay. Just tell me.
So the top person with a 12-game hitting streak, AJ Ellis.
Would have been very high up on my guess.
The longest hitting streak in Dodger postseason history. And the number two guy with an 11-game hitting streak, Carl Crawford.
Okay, so names, also names I would have never, we would have gotten to like 20 guesses, I think, even knowing they were on those teams.
It was pretty stunning when that was came out to the answer. But so the other thing is, but Peterson's streak is unique in that he has exactly one hit in all 10 games. So it's that streak in itself of consecutive one hit games and no more, no less, is the longest in MLB postseason history. So Jock Peterson, trendsetter.
So one thing I'll end on before you send us off is, and if a listener wants to give us a correction on this, I have not certified this yet, but you and I were talking. We believe this is the first time the Dodgers have ever used four starting pitchers in an NLDS game, or at least in the modern wild card era, and the first time they've used four starting pitchers in a five-game series in 40 years? Is that the last one we found?
Oh, wait, no, I forgot. We were talking before this, and I think, did I mess up? I'm looking it up live as to not... Because maybe I thought I had one.
While you do that, I began thinking, because the Dodgers did a lot of sweeping and got a lot of swept, and a lot of Kershaw on short rest. And the last one I could think of was in 2004, but Odalis Perez pitched both games 1 and 4. But do you have an update for us?
It was 40 years exactly. So the old NLCS through from 1969 to 1984 was 5 games, best of 5 instead of best of 7. So in the 78 NLCS against the Phillies, the Dodgers won 3-1. They had Bert Hooten, Tommy John, Doug Rau, and Don Sutton start the 4 games. So that was the last time they used 4 starting pitchers in a 5-game series. So good. That was a good lookout by you. That was a solid piece of trivia. And maybe they can make some more trivia in the NLCS. But I would imagine we'll record in between the games 2 and 3. So we'll get back to you before then. But enjoy the first couple games of the NLCS, and we'll talk to you later.